cliffcentral.com.
And this is our chance now to catch up on a Monday morning with what's going on in the markets. And just in case you don't already know, what we do every couple of Mondays is we have a feature effectively where we talk about what's going on in the markets. And we'll be having an in-depth discussion today around the state of the global environment, economic trends, what is moving the markets, all the really, really useful information. And we've got someone here who knows all of that stuff. So we've got some very particular things we want to address with Neil Wilson, who we'll be talking to in a moment. He's a chief market analyst at markets.com and at Finalto, and he will provide us with some expert analysis of market movements and the macroeconomic trends. Very, very important stuff. We're going to get to that in a second. But whether you're a new trader who's looking for a safe place to start, or you're an experienced trader who's looking for low spreads, multi-assets, and high tech, you will find markets.com suits you perfectly. A special offer to everybody who is listening now, if you haven't already tried this, you can follow the links on cliffcentral.com to register with markets.com. Just go to the website and you can find all the links there. You will get a 30% bonus on your deposit. Now that is really big. That's a big deal. That's an extra injection of cash that you wouldn't have had otherwise. And if you refer a friend, you will both get a 30% bonus. So make sure you click the link on Markets Mondays on cliffcentral.com for more information. Get in there ASAP. You refer a friend, you will both get a 30% bonus. That sounds like a good reason to get involved, if you ask me. So let's welcome Neil Wilson and bring him on. Hey, Neil, how are you?
Hi. Good morning. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Yeah.
Good.
Everyone over there.
Yeah, great to see you again. Neil, I gave a little bit of an introduction where I said that we would be looking today at the state of the global environment. Obviously, it's election week in the United States, and we know that politics tends to cause some upstream effects, which downstream make the economy behave a little more erratically at times like these. But what are we looking at? And in particular, let's begin by talking about the Fed. What has happened with the fallout from the Fed's decision on interest rates just last week?
Yeah, so I mean, it was quite a big week for the market with the Fed raising interest rates again by 0.75%. So another jumbo-sized rate hike. That's the fourth in a row. Really, sort of hammering home the fact that they're trying to, you know, get on top of the inflation dragging, if you like, and it's, they're trying to get control of it, but struggling still. The Fed raised rates. The fallout initially, you know, we sort of saw the market kind of not quite sure whether it was hawkish, i.e., you know, pushing for tighter financial conditions, and you know, more tight than the market has thought anyway, or dovish, which is looser financial conditions. And then you had this press conference with the president, Jay Powell, and then it kind of all fell out, and there was quite a lot of volatility last week. I think that was really the key thing. So we saw stocks really taking a hit from that Fed meeting. But then into the end of the week, we had the monthly US labor market report, the non-farm payrolls report. That's always closely watched for being a leading indicator of what the Fed might do next. And we saw unemployment tick up in the US. And so that was just seen by the market maybe as a bit more positive, although it's higher unemployment should be positive. But it's all this sort of funny dynamic whereby if there's bad economic data, then you think, well, the Fed's not going to do so much. Therefore, that's actually quite good for stock markets. So we saw a lot of push and pull on that front. And I think the market's still trying to make up its mind about how far the Federal Reserve needs to go in raising interest rates. And then that has global ramifications, because really where the Fed goes, the rest of the world is kind of following. And the key thing really from last week was just that level of volatility that still exists, because we don't know where interest rates are going to end up.
In the near future. You mentioned the downstream effects of this on the world economy and on markets like South Africa. So is there any impact on this on the South African markets as a result of this Fed decision?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you just look at the sort of the price action, you know, just what was going on in the South African market, certainly, you know, if you look at it in the wake of the meeting and in the wake of the non-farms as well, you know, you saw a lot of movement. You saw the Rand rallying on Friday. You saw the SA 40 index, the leading 40 companies that rallied well. You know, so in relation to the non-farms as well as the Fed, the two are all sort of interconnected, just, you know, giving a sort of macro kind of picture. And you saw that South African index rally. But with South Africa, I think it's worth noting, you know, there's the Fed certainly is driving a lot of this because of, you know, the global ramifications from interest rates and the dollar. The strong dollar is a key thing here. But also, I think this sort of chatter, rumours around China reopening and you know, easing the pressure on global supply chains, that is driving a lot as well, particularly in some of the basic resources stocks and the miners, and that's obviously quite a key component of the South African index. So there's a, you know, couple of big global macro trends that are buffeting the South African financial markets right now. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a webinar actually coming up this week with Simon Brown, so that he's going to be discussing a bit more about that in depth later this week. So there's a lot happening out there.
That is useful to know, and we're also familiar with Simon, so we will we'll be telling people about that you know, presentation of his as well, once we have some more info on it. I wanted to ask you, though, with the Fed and interest rates, I mean, a lot of people complaining it's not enough and that they need to raise them significantly and over a prolonged period. What is your feeling on this? Do you think that the Fed has more plans to keep raising interest rates? And at what level will interest rates be able to bring inflation under control?
Yeah, so the market right now is kind of thinking around that sort of 5% level. We're at 4% now with the Fed funds rate. The market thinks maybe 5%. What the Fed did last week was say we think it's going to be a bit higher than we previously thought, so it's moved up to above 5% in terms of that pricing, that market futures pricing. The problem is that once inflation gets above 5%, that it's never been brought down to target, so back down to 2% level inflation, more kind of comfortable level of inflation, without the interest rate going above the inflation rate. So it currently sits around sort of, I don't know, 8%. There's different measures that say it sits around 8%. So you think maybe that the Fed has, although the Fed thinks it's going to move, the Fed sort of thinks, well, we're going to move up to 5 and a bit, and then stop. And that will bring it down eventually over time. The problem is that maybe it just needs to keep going, and that's maybe what the market's missing out on right now.
Well, I mean, didn't that happen with Paul Volcker back in the 80s as well? He kept raising and raising and raising the interest rates, and people thought, oh, this is going to devastate the economy. But it did eventually bring inflation under control, and it did launch a very good bullish season for the U.S. for some 10, 12 years after that. Once everything had been rationalized, because all the market's trying to do, and correct me where I'm wrong here, Neil, because you're the expert, is find some kind of equilibrium, some sort of balance. And, you know, it's all supply and demand, and there's a lot of money that's been injected into the markets at the moment, which is what's causing the inflation. And what's going to happen with interest is that obviously the money will find the place where it's most desired. And hopefully this will be controlled by things like the interest rates at the Fed.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, exactly. It's a very good way of describing it. And I think that the key uncertainty, the key unknown right now is when does inflation, how, at what level does inflation come down? And I think the problem for the market and the problem for the Fed and everyone is that once inflation becomes unleashed, it's really, really difficult to bring it back down.
Right.
The analogy is the toothpaste analogy. You can squeeze it out, but it's very difficult to shove it back in. But that's uncertain. So the uncertain thing for the market right now is that the ultimate level of interest rates. So the terminal rate, it's called. So where the Fed and other central banks eventually top out. I think that's the big unknown, and that's really why stock markets are still very volatile. We're still in this bear market, although we're seeing these bear market rallies where we get a push up on sort of hope that hope that things have maybe stabilized. But, you know, until the Fed actually stops, that's really the point at which we can get some more certainty, and therefore investors can feel confident again to start putting their money to work.
All right. Last bit of information with regard to the politicians is obviously we mentioned the midterm elections, which are happening this week, Tuesday, tomorrow. So is there anything there that we need to look out for? How will the markets respond if, A, it goes very heavily towards the Republicans, as the polls are telling us it will, or B, if in fact the polls are wrong and it ends up putting a whole lot of Democrats back into office, both in gubernatorial elections, in the Senate elections, and then for members of the House of Representatives? How will that affect the economy and the markets in general?
Yeah, so I think, you know, Democrat clean sweep, it's quite low tail risk, if you like, if you call it that. The chances of that happening are quite small. I think that the Republicans seem to be set to take the House of Representatives. That looks pretty sure. Less clear in the Senate exactly what happens, but I think, you know, if you get that Democrat clean sweep, low chances of it happening. If it does happen, then Biden could push on with some of his agenda a lot more easily, and that could, well, we think that might be inflationary, so that might add to more stimulus, more fiscal support, and that could actually worsen inflation, which pushed the Fed to do more, and therefore probably bad for the market. Republicans clean sweep would be probably net positive for the market, just because some of that agenda that Joe Biden wants to push through is less likely to be delivered. The chances are probably that the market rallies anyway after the election over the next few months. We've had quite a significant drawdown over the last this year, and traditionally, usually, since the war, I think 17 out of 19 midterm elections, you've actually seen the market do a lot better in the 6 months after the elections than in the 6 months before. So once you remove the uncertainty of the election and you get the clarity about what the situation is in Washington, investors start to tend, you know, historically to pile back in. So you think that unless the Democrats can surprise with by taking both houses, then I think probably that's what happens.
All right. One last thing then. We've paid attention to the US, but the UK, I mean, with all their political shenanigans in the last while, has hardly been a picture of stability themselves. Let's just look at the Bank of England, because they've also hiked their rates. Is the turbulence in the UK over?
Yeah, well, we'd like to think so, but you never know. There does seem to be a lot more political stability with the new Prime Minister and Chancellor. We get a bit more on that on November the 17th with the autumn statement, the budget. So that's going to be more pain, I think, for consumers. And just, you know, ultimately, though, the financial markets are not. You know, they're not worried too much about what consumer pain there is. Unfortunately, they work on other things, and think the volatility in the UK is now predominantly just a global phenomenon. I don't think, you know, after the mini budget back in September and all that stramash about that, there was a real UK premium, a sort of political risk premium, or what one analyst called the moron risk premium, that was added to the cost of UK debt. It was an extra cost to our debt because they just weren't sure what we were going to do, because the political situation and the fiscal policy seemed all over the place.
Right.
That's sort of worked itself out, and I think we're back to square one with that. But the global situation is still quite uncertain. I think, and the UK is quite an open global economy in that sense, and you know, our markets are very diverse, and we're much at the mercy of what's going on globally, but I think, you know, internally, at least domestically, I think things have settled down somewhat.
I hope, from your mouth to God's ears, and I hope we have a very good week, and there are some nice takeaways from all these new developments. Obviously, the elections, the UK system settling down. Are there any other things on the horizon that we need to be on the lookout for at the moment? I mean, there's always some geopolitical threat. What are you looking at?
Well, I think one of there's probably, as I said before, the China, whether China reopens, that's a big one, because that's going to play into what, you know, what the third term of Xi Jinping actually means. You know, is he seeking to create a new direction? Obviously, the Taiwan situation is something that we, you know, that could happen at any point, and I think that's probably the biggest sort of black swan, or it's not really a black swan because we kind of know it might happen, but if it did happen, it would still be like a thunderbolt and be hugely disruptive to the market.
Sure.
But also, I think just looking to see what happens with Italy and the new prime minister, she's just finding her feet and kind of building that government, and just looking to see what sort of friction there might be between Italy and Brussels, and that could potentially lead to some volatility and maybe some widening of bond spreads in Europe, and that could create some volatility for the euro as well. So there's a few things, and there's always going to be something out there, so we're just sort of keeping our eyes open.
All right, Neil, thank you so much. Neil Wilson from Markets.com and Finalto. He is the chief market analyst for them, and we have the benefit of his wisdom this morning and his experience too in the market. So thank you, Neil. Have a great week.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye-bye. So Neil Wilson and Markets.com. And just in case you haven't already started, you need to get into Markets Mondays, brought to you by Markets.com. They'll be back again in a few weeks' time. Remember to follow the link on cliffcentral.com to register with them. You'll get a 30% bonus, and you can get that on top of your deposit. If you also refer a friend, you will both get a 30% bonus. Make sure that you click on the links on Markets Mondays on cliffcentral.com so you can get all of the benefits of that.
Cliffcentral.com.